Thank you to everybody that was praying for me. I really appreciate that. All right, let's open with prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this beautiful Sunday that you've given us where we can come here and worship you, Lord. Thank you for the gentlemen that have handled the word of God so far, Lord. Pray that you be with myself as I handle your word, Lord. Give me strength and power, Lord. Pray that you be with our pastor as he's away from us, Lord. Give him safety, Lord, and also safety as he travels back to us, Lord. In your son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Luke 11 today. Luke 11. We're going to read verses 29 through 36. The Bible says, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no dark part, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." As believers, we have tremendous responsibility with the light that has been given to us through the truth of God's word. What do we do with this light? And what are the consequences for choosing to abandon or reject this light? I want to take a look at some examples of individuals in the Bible who wanted to hide their light rather than spread that light to others, and how the Lord intervened in their lives. But first, let's look further into this light that each of us has, and if we are believers, it's the light that we have whether we like it or not. For context, we pick up during one of Jesus' many teachings to the multitude of Jews and Gentiles. At this time, Jesus was performing miracles and healing. This drew a lot of attention, and many people wanted to see him that were doing all these great things. We see in verse 29, they were gathered thick together. He also had many scribes and Pharisees criticizing and accusing him of casting out demons and performing these miracles using the power of Beelzebub, or Satan. We can see that in verse 14 and 15 earlier in the chapter. It says, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, 'He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils.'" So we end up having Jesus address this multitude, telling them that they are an evil generation, and he will no longer perform miracles or heal for them, but he himself shall be the sign. In verse 30, it says, "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." We see, just as Jonas was a sign and light unto the Ninevites, Jesus will be a sign and light unto this generation. The light of Jesus Christ will be their sign. Let's look at the impact of this light. We're going to read verse 31 and 32 again. The Bible says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." The light drew the queen of the south to travel all the way to Solomon just to bear witness to the light, or in this case, his wisdom, that the Lord blessed him with. For those that remember from the Old Testament, we know that the Queen of the South is also known as the Queen of Sheba. Let's turn to 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10. We can read this account for ourselves and see if Solomon decided his light or not. First Kings 10. We can read the whole thing because it's good. We'll read verses 1 through 13. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his absence by which he went up unto the house, ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. And God gave she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and the king's house harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. The queen of Sheba had to see this display of the Lord's light for herself. And despite all the questions and no doubt interrogation, she had no choice but to acknowledge Solomon's tremendous display of wisdom and reverence. Solomon's light did nothing but shine brightly for the Lord. This is self-evident in Queen Sheba's acknowledgement that only the Lord set Solomon on that throne. Back in Luke 11, we see Jesus has more to say at the end of verse 31. It says, For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The wisdom and light of Solomon that drew the Queen of Sheba from the utmost parts of the earth is perfectly portrayed through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As our Savior, he is the originator of light, wisdom, and truth. Actually, more specifically, he is light, wisdom, and truth. I believe his claim that a greater Solomon is here, a greater than Solomon is here, is more than well-founded. It doesn't stop with the Queen of Sheba. We also see Jesus talk about Jonas, or Jonah. Let's read verse 32 again. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. We all know the story of Jonah and the Ninevites. At first, Jonah was not too keen on letting his light shine before men. Instead, recluse into his own self-pity and pride. After all, can you blame him? How can such a corrupt and morally reprehensible people repent and follow the Lord? Well, the light of the Lord strikes your heart with conviction and forces you to make a choice. Well, the light of the Lord strikes your heart. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:12. Sorry. Hebrews 4:12. Bible says, For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is our light. As we know, in Psalm 119, the Bible says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This light manifests as a two-edged sword that pierces everyone's hearts whenever the light is put forth. Fortunately for the Ninevites, that sword caused their hearts to submit and repent unto the Lord. Even Jonah, who was tasked with bringing the light, had to have his own heart stabbed a few times with that two-edged sword before submitting to the Lord. Let's actually turn to Jonah and see some of this account. We'll start in verse 1. My bad. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah decided to run from the Lord in his fear and pride and hide his light. As it is the Lord's will and desire that we be light unto the world, deviation from that will will lead to chastisement from the Lord until we are back on our knees before him. Amen. Decisions we make are observed by others. Making bad decisions not aligned with the Lord's word of truth will cause your light to diminish before others. Let's skip to verse 12 in Jonah as I turned away. Verse 12, and we're going to read through 17. "And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, and the great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." The Lord used even the chastisement of Jonah to be a light unto the crew of the ship. Just as the Queen of Sheba, they had to acknowledge the presence of the Lord. Now let's see in Jonah 3, chapter 3, read 1 through 10. Keep following this story here. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe with him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said, and he would do unto them, and he did not." Jonah, learning from his sins, puts forth the word of the Lord unto the city of Nineveh, and the Lord quieting his wrath upon them. Jonah's light had an impact on Nineveh. Now, back to Luke, this time for real. We see verse 32 ends the same way he ended it in verse 31. A greater than Jonas is here, and indeed, he is greater than Jonas. Let's read verse 33. No man, when he hath lighteth a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. In this verse, our Savior challenges us with a very simple observation. The light isn't exactly light unless people can see it. It should be a very visible aspect of our lives. As Jesus says, does a candle go under a bushel or on a candlestick? Everyone can easily spot another Christian out in this world, whether they are saved believers or not. Our existence and being belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If this is truly the case, your whole life will be modeled after Jesus Christ, striving to be more like him every day. Committing your heart to the Lord has visible ramifications that is visible to everyone in your life and who you meet. Amen. Verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Notice, Jesus wants our eyes focused on one thing, and that is the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are only focused on the Lord, then that will fill our whole body. However, if our eyes are focused on something other than the Lord, our whole body is filled with darkness. When focused on the Lord, we will necessarily manifest the light of the Lord. When people look at you, hopefully they see the Lord as it fills your whole body. We cannot have a single part dark within us, as we will see later in verse 36. But let's look at Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 real quick. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is a good example at how our light should be manifested in our lives. And notice how we cannot be filled with the Spirit and darkness and have darkness elsewhere in our life. In this verse specific example, alcohol. We can also look at John 3:19 real quick. John 3:19. Still on the same train of thought here. We'll read through verse 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. We cannot have light and evil together. It must be either all light or it is all darkness. Also, here is more confirmation that if we are filled with light, our actions will necessarily be made manifest unto the world. Back at Luke. We'll hit up verse 35 now. Read verse 36 also. Bible says, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. As strong as light is in a saved person, it is possible to hide and be ashamed of who we are. or we can shine our light only when it is beneficial to us. Further, we can choose to dim our light by being blinded by our own self-delusions. I think Moses and Jeremiah, who did not view themselves as qualified to share the light of the Lord, whether it was this excuse or that excuse, through the admonitions of the Lord, these men submitted and went on to be tremendous beacons of light for the Lord. Amen. Let's take a quick look at Moses. Go to Exodus 4. So in chapter 3, though, we see the Lord instructing Moses to bring his people out of the affliction of Egypt. And then we pick up in chapter 4, verse 1, says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, or hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Here we see Moses showing a little doubt. But what if they don't believe me? The Lord is merciful with Moses and gives him some signs for the people of Israel until Moses again shows doubt, which we see in verse 10 through 12. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of slow tongue." Moses is still coming up with excuses to ignore the will of the Lord, deciding he would rather hide his candle than show it. The Lord does end up getting Moses to obey him, by the way. The Lord's will is going to be accomplished no matter what. We can see that further in Jeremiah. We'll go see Jeremiah now. Chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Bible says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the day of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying out of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I adored thee, ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdom to root out and pull down and destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." So here we have Jeremiah. We see that the word of the Lord came to him just as it had Moses. Blaming his age as the excuse to hide his light, the Lord has to admonish and encourage Jeremiah, telling him that you will obey me, but not to be afraid because he is with him and will deliver him. Back in our passage in Luke, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the light. And if we are ashamed of this, then your light may be so dim that it goes completely unnoticed in this world. Instead of piercing the darkness with the light and the truth of the Bible, we instead let the darkness envelop us, and as Jesus says, thy body is also full of darkness. Let us be a beacon of light and not a beacon of evil and darkness. Notice Jesus says, no part dark. There is no room for darkness in a believer's life. Even the littlest things in our life that take preeminence over the Lord adds darkness to our life and dims the candle that should be burning with our whole body filled with light, as our Lord says. We can only hide our light for so long before the Lord steps in, as he did with Jonah and Moses and Jeremiah, and no doubt others. You can't just say that you are satisfied with having a dim light, because that is not the Lord's will for your life. Whatever it may be that is in our life that is dimming our light, rest assured that the Lord will purge it for the purpose of you shining brightly for Him. Hopefully we learn our lesson from the Lord the first time, as He will not give up on us and will continue to chasten us until we are again serving and submitting unto Him and bringing forth the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the world. The Lord is with us and will deliver us from the darkness of this world. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ and hide our light under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this Sunday, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the truth that we stand on, Lord. Help us not to waver. Again, we pray that you be with our pastor today, Lord. Pray these things in your son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.